The scripture today is from Psalm 104, 1 through 9. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out over the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, the flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundation and it can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross, and never again will they cover the earth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Let's pray. Almighty and creative God, we're going to hear about you this morning through your word, how you have chosen to tell us about yourself. Speak for your servants here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that in the history of the church, all the way back from 29 AD until now, there has been a singular idea that has been repeated about God over and over again? This singular idea has been repeated about God in every way, in every confession, in every description. And this singular idea is not that he is all-knowing, all-powerful, or all-present. It is this. It is the fact that he created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. It is articulated in every major creed in the church. The Apostles' Creed: I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The Nicene Creed: we believe in one God, creator of all that we see, all the heavens, all the earth, everything. The Athanasius Creed: every statement of faith centers around God created the heavens and the earth. God and God alone is the source of all the reality that you and I see. He is the source of the sun, the moon, the stars. He is the source of the seas. He is the source of grass, of bugs, of reptiles, of koala bears, of kitty cats, of whatever you can think of. God is the source of that reality. That's taught in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without void. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then he is taught in terms of all the kings. It's taught in terms in the Psalms. It's taught in terms of the prophets. It is seen in the words of Jesus. It is seen in the words of Paul. It is seen in Revelation. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, we are taught that God is a creator and sustainer of the universe. In fact, in Revelation 4:11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they are created and have their being." We believe this. We stand on this. We make our stand that says we're not the end product of an accidental process. We are not circumstances. We are not the result of selection choices. We are carefully, intricately, intentionally created by God. We are God's deliberate choice. Think about that. God chose to have a relationship with us. Now, this morning, we don't have time to cover all of creation. All the issues that have to do with creation, all the details that go into that conversation. We're not going to go into the debates of the young earth versus old earth. We're not going to go into scientific evidence. The issue is not how or how long or how this fits into our understanding. What this is a confession that we believe that God and God alone is the author of all that we see. God and God alone is the author of all that we see. We believe that God is the one who created everything that we touch, everything we taste, everything we hear, everything we smell, everything we hear, see, is creation. We believe that. That we take our stand upon. And we could, as we did this morning, talk about Genesis chapter 1. Elohim, that's the name for God. Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim created. By the way, the word for created is the one I taught Katie. Bara. Say that with me. Bara. It's a great word, isn't it? Bara. He created. That means to bring something out of nothing. And he created. You know, day one, he creates light. Day two, he creates the waters. Day three, he creates land. And in day one, two, and three, he separates. He separates the water, creates an expanse, and puts lights in it. Then day two, he creates the waters and puts them in certain bound areas. And day three, he separates and puts the land where it belongs. Did you know that on day four, five, and six, he fills that which he has separated? Day four fills the firmament. Day five fills the seas. Day six fills the land. God puts that all together. Isn't that an amazing idea that God does it with such precision and such understanding? That God did this. God is brilliant. Oh, we also could have gone to Job 38. Have you ever read the last four chapters of the book of Job? 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. It's a great chapter. All from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 37, Job has complained, Job has articulated, he's debated with his friends, he's asked God a multitude of questions, and then in chapter 38, God comes down and says, Job, stand up like a man, it's my turn to ask some questions of you. So here is the deal. Question number one. Job, were you there when I set the foundations of the earth? Question number two. Job, who determines how large this earth was going to be? Question number three, do you know where I keep snow? Have you ever given orders to the morning? Isn't that, I love those questions. As Job goes, you know, I just keep my mouth shut. I've spoken too much. I have no more to say. I'm going to be silent. Well, we're not going to go to Job. We're not going to go to Genesis. We're going to go to Psalm 104, a psalm of creation. A psalm of creation that glorifies God for his handiwork. And it is 35 verses long, which means it's longer than most people like. When you read the Bible in the morning and you're thinking about a psalm, aren't you looking for one that's about 10 verses long? You want one that's kind of a quick in and out. When you see one that's 35, you're thinking, oh, man. Well, this is 35 verses long, and we're going to look at the first 9 verses to get a flavor. But this psalm, who is psalmist, the author is anonymous, looks around at creation and praises God. He looks around Palestine. He looks around that all that's there and praises God. And the only thought I had is, can you imagine what he would have written if he got up in the morning and looked at Traverse Bay? Look at what we have to see every day. Psalm 104, verses 1 to 9. Now, when you saw that, how many of you kind of thought in the back of your mind, I know what that word is. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. How many of you thought that? How many thought you know what word that was? What word did you think it was? No. If you have the New American Standard Bible like Al does, you're going to see that the word is not praise the Lord. The word is bless the Lord, O my soul. Like Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We bless the Lord. Blessing's a little bit different than praising. Praising is more of a verbal thing. Blessing is more of a gift. If you have some of the newer translations, remember, how many of you remember the Beatitudes? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through 12. And it starts off, and some translations start this way. Happy. Happy is he. Well, the idea of blessing is to bring a sense of satisfaction, joy, to bring a sense of well-being. And what we want to do is we want to give God joy for what he has done. Bless the Lord. Let me give something to us. Make God feel joy. Let me give joy to the Lord for what he has done. Let me bless the Lord. Bless Yahweh. O Yahweh Elohim, for you are very great. By the way, you're wondering, what language am I speaking? Elohim, remember that's the name for God, used in terms of creation. Yahweh is God's name, I am. When you remember in the Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the name God gave Moses, the name Israel used, and said, bless Yahweh. My Yahweh, Elohim, is very great. He is very great. He is clothed with splendor and might. By the way, when you walk up to someone, what's the first thing you notice about them? What? What they're wearing. Yeah. I was taking Spence to work the other day, and there was this girl who had neon yellow pants on. And she was walking by. And not only are they neon yellow, but they're really, really tight. And she should not have been wearing anything really, really tight. Okay? And Spence just looked at me, and I looked at him, and he goes, don't want him to talk about it. You know, but don't you ever, haven't you ever walked by and you think, what were they thinking? They got that out of the, you know, have you ever, they got that out of the closet and they thought, this is a good idea. And they, no. You know, have you ever tried, guys, have you ever tried to leave the house? Your wife goes, nope, not happening. You know, it's just, God is clothed. The first thing we notice is splendor and majesty because it is his very visual impact. He is there. He has splendor and majesty. It's what you notice about him. The first thing you see, the sheer magnitude of God is breathtaking. How do we know this? By what he has done. By what he has done. I want you to think of a breathtaking visual image of creation that you have seen. It might be the night sky without any influence of man-made lights. It might be the sunset on Lake Michigan or the sea. It might be the majestic morning in the mountains. It might be just the fact of going in a garden. But you look at it and you see God's handiwork, and all you see is splendor and majesty. God's handiwork is absolutely phenomenal. You go out there. One of the reasons I love Lake Michigan is it's always different. Isn't it amazing? It's always a different look. Has a different personality. Have you ever been out during a storm just to watch the waters and see the waves? I love that. Or early in the morning when you get out and it's absolutely glass. And there are days it's kind of aqua, and there are days it's absolutely the richest, deepest blue you have ever seen. And then you have fall. One of the most beautiful places is Silver Lake. South of here, just south of Pentwater. You go to Silver Lake, and you have all of this massive expanse of sand going out to the sea. And in the fall, you have this quilt of yellow and red and green and brown and orange. And they are on fire. and you look at that, and the only thing you can say is, oh, nice job, God. Well done. Well done. Well done. There's a place in the Sierra Nevadas. It's called Hume Lake. Small little lake tucked away in a valley. You know what I'm talking about. And they have this chapel. I don't know how anybody gets anything done, because the back of the chapel, you know, behind the preacher is this massive glass wall that overlooks the lake with a huge mountain peak behind it. Absolutely stunning. And you look to yourself, our God reigns. Our God reigns. You look at what we have been given, and you look at the magnitude of creation, and you look at the glory of what he has done, and you have to say to yourself, whoa, what a phenomenal thing our God is. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. God is light. God is the giver of light. Think about that. He wraps himself in light. Think about all the things that light can do, all the brilliant colors that light comes in. You know, how it looks like jewels going across the bay, how it looks so brilliantly white, how it can be broken into so many colors. Imagine God wrapped in all of that creative variety that blinds you. He is wrapped in light. The very forces of nature are at his command. And then it says in verse number two, he stretches out the heavens like a tent. Have you ever been on the beach at night, on a clear night, and you look up, and without the interference of any buildings or streetlights or anything else, you see the glory of the heavens? Can you imagine what it was like in the day of the psalmist? To sit out there and to see that absolute incredible display, and to think that all heaven was stretched out like a tent. You also have to keep in mind that in the idea of the ancient, the heavens were a canopy. The heavens were a protective tent. The heavens, it kept chaos away. It was like the roof of everything. They didn't have a concept of galaxies. They didn't have a concept. You know, in the day of Jesus, the word light year never came up. Quarks never came up. Black holes never came up. Galaxies never came up. Novas, that stuff, they didn't even think about those things. That's a relatively new concept. The psalmist looks up and he sees the glory of that. And he laid out the beams of the upper chambers on there. And you think about waters. How did water get into space? Remember, in the beginning, God separated the waters. And there was a place called space. And that's where he put the firmament. That's where he put the canopy. And it keeps the chaos. Ancient Israel didn't like water. They were afraid of water. The word abyss means deep water. Remember what was kept in the abyss? Evil. Bad things happened when you were in the water. When Jesus was on the water with his disciples, they were never comfortable. Oh, they have boats, but they didn't go across the lake. They went around the edge of the lake. And when they're out in the middle, and in the middle of the storm, they're panicking. Because out there, bad things happen. And when it says, he laid out the beams in the upper chambers on their water. By the way, the Hebrew word there is balcony. Isn't that awesome? God's balcony is up in the heavens. What a view. His balcony is up there. And his clouds are his chariot. Isn't that an awesome image? If you are from the Midwest, where you have room to see, and your thunderstorms can reach to 70,000 feet in the air, those are impressive clouds. They are white and black with a little bit of green and a mustache. And they're coming at you. And you know it's going to get bad and ugly in a hurry. And it's coming. Imagine being able to see almost the curve of the earth and watching these clouds. They come like chariots. He rides clouds like chariots. He rides on the wings of the wind. The very forces of nature are all in his commands. This is our God. This is how he describes the creative, authoritative ownership of all that you and I see. In verse number 4, he makes the wind his messengers. The real word is he makes the wind his angels. He makes that wind his angels. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. He is incredibly creative. The flame of the fire, his servants, everything in all creation, there is no force, no ability, there is nothing that you and I might be timid or fearful of that God is not in absolute control. Why? He formed it. He spoke it into being. Verses 2, 3, 4 talk about the heavens. Verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9 talk about the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. He set the earth on its foundations. How many of you have ever been in a big cave? You ever go into the Mammoth Cave? Or you ever go into, there's a massive cave, Cave of the Winds in Colorado Springs. We went in there. I'm not built for caves. I'm too tall and too wide. But we went into Cave of the Winds. And you go in there and you keep going down and down. And down, and down. And you see things, and you're down in this earth, and it is, and without any light, because he has to have all, but you go in there and you think, here are the foundations of the earth. He set the earth on its foundations. I was talking to Jim, he's building a house down there, and he has to, you have to go down, what, 4 feet for footings? You have to go down 4 feet for footings. He's going to put the footings down there, and he's going to build it down there, and it's got to be what? How wide is a footing? 15 inches. So it's 15 inches, about a, you know, about like this, and it's going to be all the way down. Imagine, you're going to put the foundations of the earth. Where do you put those footings? How huge is it? I have in my mind these pillars. And I have a fairly creative mind, and I even become stymied at this. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. And then he covers it all with the waters, the deep, everywhere encapsulated to where the waters stood above the mountains. Imagine that. Thousands of feet deep. Thousands upon thousands of feet deep. Chaos everywhere. Unpredictability. Are any of you sailors? Anybody a sailor in here? The most dangerous waters in the United States are where? Great Lakes. Why is it dangerous? Storms can come on you so fast you can't prepare for them. You can be out in Lake Michigan, everything looks fine, and a half an hour later you are in some serious difficulties, and if you're sailing you can't get back fast enough. Remember, they don't like water, and the deep covers everything, and it was chaotic until God brought order. And by his word, he rebuked them, and the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over to the mountains, and they went down into the valleys to the place where you have assigned them, and you set a boundary for them they cannot cross, and never again will they cover the earth. And everything is there. He says, God creates. He controls. He instills order. He makes it habitable. He makes it safe. It is here for our benefit. The psalmist says, how great is our God? How great is our God? And he gets that from looking around at what God has instilled and God has created. We are not accidents. We are not the result of some sort of genetic selection. We are not survival of the fittest. We are God's intentional work. On the sixth day, he made man in his image. He made man in order that he might thrive in what he has created, that he would have a relationship with him. We believe that God is the author, that God is the creator of everything that we see, and because of that, our relationship with him is unique. We come with gratitude and awe. We come with a sense of devotion, and we come with a sense of joy. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And just look what he has done. Just look what he has done. May God bless you. Amen.